Take your Bibles. We're going to look to 1 Peter tonight, the book of 1 Peter. We're going to continue in the study. Last Wednesday night, I preached When a House Becomes a Home. And I'm going to give you some practical thoughts that are going to help you. I encourage you to jot these down. Study these verses in detail under the leadership of the Holy Spirit for guidance that it might help you in your home, strengthen you in your home. Summer months are not always just necessarily dangerous for our young people. They're dangerous for a home. And so I'm going to share with you how to turn your house into a home. Now, in the book of Peter, here's what's happening. Peter begins writing in chapter 1. He gets up to verse 11 and 12. He begins to talking about preachers of the gospel, those who preach or proclaim or share the good news. Talks about how that the Holy Spirit is sent down from heaven, and he is. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit here. He said, if I go not away, then the Comforter cannot come. And so because on that day when Jesus was lifted into the heavens, he sent the Holy Spirit. Now the interesting thing is we can learn so much about it and understand it, not maybe to its fullest, but we can understand it or at least grasp it. Angels are yearning to look upon it. They cannot comprehend what God is doing. Now the Bible tells us in verse number 13, or actually 14, let's drop down to verse 14. If you're able, we're going to stand for the reading of the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, or not being learned of Christ, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That means in all way of living or life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I'm holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, now tonight we're going to take a look at how we can take and turn our house into a home. Now help us with this. Encourage us. And certainly, if need be, convict us about things in our life, how that we can make things better with your strength and with your Holy Spirit. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. For some reason, it just seems like the devil is relentless. For some reason, I believe, reason number one is that if the devil can get into the homes, then he can weaken society, he can weaken the church, he can weaken our government. He can weaken just about anything that man really has. I'm convinced that the home is the very foundation of what God yearns and desires for us to get a little taste of. And I am convinced it's a little taste of heaven if we live it according to the Word of God. And that does not mean that I'm telling you tonight that we have got to have a perfect home to get a little piece of heaven. I am saying tonight that there are certain things that are found in the instruction book that if we'd abide by them, it doesn't mean that we would never have storms. It doesn't mean that we're not going to experience the death of loved ones. It doesn't mean that we're going to escape all these problems. Well, the Bible teaches us that we are earthy and we are living on a earth that literally groans within itself. The Bible teaches us that we are all going to experience death in one way or another. I'd like to experience in the rapture, amen? That's real quick, all right? And we can call it easy. I'm sure it's easy for God. But I want to share with you tonight a little bit about taking your home and making the difference over the summer. Each and every one of us. This is not applied just to our young people. It's not applied to just the men in our church. It's not applied to just the ladies. It's applied to everyone in this room. Every one of us have a home. And we're a part of that home. And I'm really convinced if we'll just apply some of the things I'll share with you in just a moment, You'll be surprised over the summer the difference it can make in your life. Now listen to me. Christianity that I live, the Christ that I believe, is a practical Christ. He's a Christ that literally not just changed my heart, not just changed my thinking, but he changed my behavior. You follow me? Now, my God is worth all that. My God did so much for me that I know, and listen, I know it is not easy to live a supernatural life. I know it's not easy to live a spiritual life. If it was easy, then we'd all be doing it. And we'd all be called spiritual saints. Never would you find in the Bible the word carnal. Never would you find in the Bible failure of Christians if living the Christian life was easy. In fact, it's the total opposite. And especially when we have an enemy or enemies. We have three of them, don't we? Three enemies. We have ourselves, that's the flesh. We have the devil, he's real, and he is the God of this world. He is in great power. He has many, many behind him as supporting him. Then we have the world, which is the world system. By the way, the world system is totally against us. The world system says men can lie with men and it's okay. The world system says we ought to legalize drugs. The world system says that you can't give an aspirin to a young girl, but you can go ahead and allow her to have condoms and to have abortions without the okay of parents. Something's wrong with that. That's the world system. That's what I'm talking about. The world system. World system says, don't give them a Bible in school. We beg you to give the Bibles when they go to jail. That's the world system. Everybody with me? Everybody understands that. That's the world system. The world system says, you owe us. The government owes us. That's the world system. Government does not owe us unless you got some tax return coming. Okay? Well, we understand that. So number one, if I'm going to turn my house into a home over this summer, get it done this summer. Number one, I have to walk in holiness. I have to walk in holiness. The Bible teaches us very much so. In fact, did you know that the doctrine of holiness is almost a forgotten doctrine in churches? Churches under the umbrella of Christianity have literally shied away on purpose of preaching and teaching holiness. But the Bible teaches that that's what we should strive for. In fact, we read where Peter said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Isn't that what the Lord said? And the Bible encourages us to walk circumspectly, very carefully. The Bible encourages us to put on the whole armor of God. The Bible teaches that we can live successfully holy. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be in a state of holiness where we never sin. But there's a lot of sin going on in the Christian home that is unnecessary. There's a lot of sin going on in the Christian home because it's been chosen to do so. There's a lot of sin going on in the Christian home because we are shackled and we've chosen to allow sin to be our master. And Peter and the Apostle Paul and many others have declared that we can be set free from such sins. And so let me encourage you tonight that you do just that. In fact, I challenge you to start a journey of living holy. Now, you say, well, then, preacher, I need instructions on that. I need a list of what's right and what's wrong. No, you don't. No, you don't. I don't need to give anybody in this building a list on what's right and what's wrong. Everybody agree on that? In fact, the Bible says that God's law has been written on our hearts. You see, it's interesting. There is the black and white. Everybody listen to me. There is the black and white. And there are things that literally there's no sense in arguing about. We know what sin is. It's written in black and white. Amen? But then there is a sin that might be a sin to you or to me and may not be a sin to a brother, another. Y'all understand that? Does everybody understand that? In other words, let's use this illustration. You have a job and you're working, but you feel in deep inside you're not really giving your all, and you know that's not right. Nobody else has noticed it. Nobody else is aware of it. In fact, they probably think you're doing a great job. But you deeply, deep inside know. Now, I'm not talking about nobody knows you've stole, because we know that's black and white, thou shalt not steal. But I'm talking about just simply in your own personal walk and in your own efforts. Do as you do unto the Lord. And so what you've done for those that you're employed by, you feel like you've truly not done all that you know you can do. Then, my friend, that is sin to you. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. So I can honestly tell you, I need not to tell anyone. Listen, I don't have to tell you that, listen, living together, shacking up is a sin. I don't have to tell you. You know it's written on your hearts. You also know that we ought to abstain from the appearance of evil. Listen, if I got somebody that's addicted to alcohol and I go in the store and buy the alcohol because they're my good friends or they're my family and I, you know, I love them and they can't walk anymore because they just can't walk no more, okay? And so maybe their liver's all gone and they just need a little alcohol. And I go in and buy the alcohol for them. I buy the booze for them. I come out with the booze. Is that an appearance of evil? Yes, it is. Everybody agreeing with me? Now, that's just odd, but that's the appearance of evil, and we have to be careful of that. That doesn't mean that sometimes we might find ourselves in such situations. I'm not talking about buying the booze, okay? But for instance, that's why it's important, and there are many other reasons, especially as young folk, you be careful who you pick as a friend. For some reason, in our society, who you run with, people begin to associate you with them. We did it with our president, didn't we? Who he run with, we associated with him. So let me encourage you this summer, examine your life. Now, I'm not talking about examining anybody else's. You young people probably could think and say, well, you know, mom, dad, well, here's a whole list. No, this is with you. Let mom take care of mom. Let dad take care of dad. Let the children take care of the children. Walk in holiness. Amen? It might be, if I'm going to be holy, if I'm going to start walking in holiness, it might be that I need to turn off, cancel my satellite. If that's a weakness, if I have to cancel some of the stations that I shouldn't watch. Amen? Whatever it may be that you're battling with. Number two, as a family, as an individual in your home, I think the second thing, not only walk in holiness, but we need to walk in helpfulness. Let me explain it to you this way. If we took down all the missionaries that we have, and we bring in probably more for missionaries, in fact, think about it. Our mission giving last year was just under $30,000, okay? Our Century Club was $15,000. So we doubled in what we make in payments, and we try to find the payment from everywhere else, but we doubled in our missions. Now, if we took the missions down and quit giving the missions, would that be right or wrong? It'd be wrong. And what would that really do to us? That would hurt us, wouldn't it? In fact, we have the concept and the understanding that we would turn into the Dead Sea. If everything just came in and we never gave out, keep that same idea and that same biblical principle in your home. In your home. Be helpful. In fact, take your Bibles, and I want you to look to Romans chapter 12. Look to Romans chapter 12. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Amen? Look to Romans chapter 12. I tell you, it's a great way for a family to get a good, healthy tradition going on. I mean, you have your own chores, amen, young people? Thank God you got your own chores, amen? You get up, mom and dad go to work, and when they go to work, they tell you, you got to get your room clean, and you know that, praise God, I got to get my room clean, amen? I don't hear no amens from you young people. Helpfulness. Look in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Look at verse 11. He says here, now he's talking about overcoming evil with good, but he says, not slothful in business, or yes, 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Anybody know what fervent in spirit means? You're not slothful in business. Slothful means what? You're not lazy in the business you got to do. You know, it's funny. You can take these young kids that are learning how to drive. They want to do it every day. Try to teach them how to make their bed. You think they're going, oh, come on, mom, please hurry. Just put the food down and come show me how to make my bed. I want to learn how to make my bed. It's the total opposite, isn't it? Not slothful in your business. Fervent. That means with energy. In spirit, serving the Lord, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continue instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Now, see that? As families, find yourself a project. Find, and I don't mean it in a terrible way, but there's families out there, or there's people. Listen, if not anything else, people are lonely. Find someone different to help along. Make a difference. Make an impact in their life. It may be someone that the whole family has to get together and say, okay, we need to get them some clothes. Okay, maybe we just need to go over and spend time with them. Maybe we need to just have them come to our home and just spend a little time with them one evening. Here's what that means. You're no longer like the Dead Sea. You're not just taking everything in. And by the way, we should never get a habit, nor should we teach our children, that the only reason I'm going to help you is because you're going to help me. And we don't need to raise our children that way. Our children, it doesn't need to be always about them. I'm amazed at how parents don't even realize how they're instilling in their children that it's all about them and what they can get. When it ought to be a time of sacrifice, and it ought to become a part of their life to where they have a pair of glasses, and before they decide to just throw them out, they might think of somebody that might need them. Or an old cell phone that we can mail off to the military. And it's not always about just us. I think that that will help a home. I think it'll change them. I like it when I see my granddaughters and they'll come out and they'll say, I said, what is that? And they said, bag of clothes. And these are our good clothes. And we're, you know, there's nothing wrong with them. And we're going to go give them to a family. Mom said, get them all together so we can go give them to a family. Walk in helpfulness. Number three, now I'm not going to turn to all the scriptures because it takes too much time. You can look at them later. But walk in helpfulness. But now number three, walk in honor and integrity. Honor and integrity. Now I'm referring to accountability and dependability. You know, I'm glad that my father instilled that in me. Not as a Christian man, but he instilled in me this understanding of accountability and dependability and how important your word, what your word means, what a handshake means. You know, it's terrible today that it's almost to the point you can't trust anyone. It's interesting that you can actually, I got one on my desk. It's called a Christian Yellow Pages. Should there ever be anything different? It'd be nice to be able to just look in the yellow pages. But I have to be honest with you. It doesn't mean much to me to see a Christian yellow pages. That's how much damage has happened to the Christian world. That's how much damage has went on. To where when they put a book like that together, I still question it. I still wonder. And most of us do. We must have a testimony. Our life must be an open book. We should live what we preach. We won't always live what we preach. We will fail, but for the most part, there's dependability. Dependability has declined. People will make commitments and not follow through with them. Our word needs to mean something, amen? We need to be a people, especially in our home. And now, put it to use, preacher. What does that really mean? One of the saddest things is to hear a dad say, I'm going to do this, and the kid, you hear the kid respond, yeah, sure. That'll happen. Dependability, integrity, our word means something. Honor. Number four. Am I right? Number four? So what do we have? Walk in holiness. Walk in helpfulness. And then walk in honor. Got it? Which is integrity and dependability. Number four, walk in humility. Walk in humility. 1 Peter 5 puts it like this, and I paraphrase it like this, put others first. Put others first. You know, I could give you a list of all the problems that are going on in my life. And you know, I got to tell you something. It doesn't matter the problems going on in my life. God always seems to step in. And he always lets me know he's here. He always has a way of doing that with me. The other day, something we got planned with our teens. I give you an illustration. God's big in the little things. Just as much as he's big in the big things to me. The little things to me seem to make him more real. I can't explain that. Maybe it's because I'm sensitive enough to recognize he's ever with me and his presence is always there, and all the little things that happen in my life are not just incidents. I don't have to wait till something big happens for me to know God's there. God's there in the little things every day. Now, I like it when the big things happen, don't get me wrong. But I'm glad that I'm sensitive enough that he's there in the little things. I felt led, and I have a problem with that anyway. I feel led to give everything I got away. But the other day, talking with someone, and we want to just do something little for some of the kids maybe that have really accomplished some things. And so I said, okay, here, I'll just write a check for $125. Now, mind you, my vehicle at home is broke. I didn't break it. Monique drove it. She broke it. I am so thankful I was not driving it. Actually, we were driving together, and it just died in the middle of a storm. And I said, oh, honey, get us home. Oh, get us home. And I said, it's a flat tire. She goes, no, it's the engine. It's not running. Oh, okay. It was just weird. Well, it's broke bad. It's broke bad, okay? And so I'm thinking, I don't know how that's going to work, okay? But I'm just going to trust the Lord. And then God turns around and somebody says, listen, whatever it takes to fix the car, we'll get it fixed. That's just God. That's just God. When I could have been saying, I need every penny I need. Oh, my car's broke and I need every penny I need. I know this, that I don't even know how many are here that have cars. If I need a car, I can switch a car out for every day of the year before I get back to you, okay? So, but what I'm trying to say is that's little, but it's big to me. It's big to me. But you know what? The world and Christians who are not growing in their family, there'd be a fight, number one, at home. Because dad would be so angry the truck's broke, and he'd be trying to blame her or the kids or somebody. Or if dad's not there and it's just mom, she'd be mad at the kids and mad at everybody else. And then they'd go to work and they'd be thinking, okay, well, the first thing that's got to go is my giving to the Lord. Okay, if I save up enough there, maybe I, you know, that's the first thing that goes, okay? Second thing that goes is probably doctor bills. I'm not going to pay them. They got plenty of money. Okay? You know, the only thing that doesn't go is things like, okay, I need gas to get back into to work. I need my health insurance. I'll keep that. It's all about me. So the focus is way off. The home is selfish. Everything that can go wrong is going to go wrong. But we need to walk in humbleness. Here, it means that we need to put others first. Here's what Paul said. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Now, that's scary. He's not even talking about physical things that we drive or hold or do. He's talking about his own very life. He says, I don't count my life dear unto myself. Now, that's probably a good thing, but he'd been beaten, he'd been shipwrecked, he'd been in the sea, he'd been starved several times. Now, I'm not talking about fasting. You know, I read long ago when I was reading the Corinthians, I went to my pastor and I said, I don't understand this about without food. And he talks about where he was fasting. He says, well, there's a difference between I want to fast and a difference I have to fast. There's a big difference, okay? And I've learned the difference. When I'm fasting, I'm not struggling so much with being hungry. But if I don't have any food, I'm starving. That's just how it is. So we need to walk in a humble way. Humble is really putting others first. I'm going to give you the last one. Last one. I have a lot more, but I'm going to give you this one as the last one. Walk, listen to this, with humor. You know, there's a program out there. There's different kinds of ideas and sayings about this, but I got to be honest with you. I like to laugh. In fact, can I tell you the truth? I seem like I'm always praying to the Lord. That's kind of weird. I can't explain it to you. But by the way, I don't want you to think, well, I'm always praying to the Lord, so I don't take any prayer time. No. You got to take prayer time. Talk to the Lord. But I like to do this. Like when we got home the night our car tore up and it was raining, it was storming. You know, I got to tell you, I didn't stress. Why stress? But what I told Monique, I said, listen, let's watch Funniest Home Videos, okay? And what we enjoy doing is watching those Funniest Home Videos and then watching our dog. Because he's weird. Isn't he, Miss Karen? Well, what he does is he gets up there right by the TV and watches the television with us and has a great time. And we have a great time with him. And then he begs for us to turn on Funniest Home Videos. What I'm trying to say is that humor. In fact, isn't laughter good medicine? I don't think that's an accident. When's the last time you've enjoyed life? When's the last time you put everything down and you get with brothers and sisters and have a good time? Listen, when we come in here and we set up for this thing that we have for our teens, I can tell you some things. Remember, Ben, remember, Brian, there are so many things that I can look back on that we have laughed about, had good fellowship with, good time with, even when these boys were growing up doing homeschool in the back as well, and how they would bust holes in the wall and then put pictures over them. And we not know for a long time. And they have keys and think they can come up here and mud it and fix it and make it look like it's supposed to look. They're better off just covering it with the picture and leaving it. But I'm serious. They'd have a poster over, a Sunday school poster, and there'll be a huge hole where Brian threw Ben through the wall. Now, yeah, he did, buddy. Come on. Yeah, right. No, I'm teasing. Maybe it was Ben. Did you put Brian? No, I didn't. Okay. But just have a good time. I mean, and enjoy yourself. You can enjoy yourself over so many different things, but the key is laughter is good medicine. And let me tell you, I think that not just for us alone, but it's good medicine for your home. Why live in stress all the time about everything? Laugh. Live and enjoy life. Enjoy every moment of your life. You say, what? That's what God wants you to do. Enjoy it. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, God, I pray that by what's been said tonight, that it'll challenge us. Maybe not in all the areas, but some of these areas, each and every one of us can apply. And may we leave this building tonight and say, God, I want to clean my home up. I want to clean my life up. I want my children to look to me and to respect me and to love me and appreciate me. And God, for our young people as well, may each and every one of us apply this tonight, that we can take the house we live in and it become a home, a place of refuge. You bless now your people in Jesus' name. Amen. As we